come to the front. Thank you, Jesus, for this day. You are worthy, Lord God, and we are just so excited that we're in your house this morning. Amen. Woo!
Jesus, you are here. I will live, I will not die. The resurrection power of Christ alive in me, and I am free in Jesus' name. Jesus' name.
Jesus is higher than every circumstance, every consequence, every enemy in your life. Can I hear you make some noise? Keep you down. The grave couldn't keep you in. Help couldn't
worship, overwhelmed by your Today, God, that there's no one in our life like you. Father, you're always faithful. Lord, you're always there in the midnight hour when we're all by ourselves. God, we're in that position where we're in a pinch. God, you always show up. You're always faithful. And Lord, this morning, we cannot thank you enough for being in this room. We can't thank you enough, Father, that you've opened up your windows and blessing us and pouring out your presence. God, we are so blessed. Father, so many of us, We don't seem to understand how much it is a blessing for us to be right here, right now, in your presence. Father, I pray for revelation knowledge. That God, people will not only be able to say they are in your presence, but they'll feel you're in the presence. God, you'll manifest, God, in their life. That Jesus, there'll be no question how good you are and what you want to do to bless your babies. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Isn't God good? I said, isn't God good? Amen. You may be seated. We're not going to do meet and greet this morning. We want to give our guests more than enough time. But when you get back to your chair, can you turn around and say to somebody, you look just marvelous today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. My wife and I just want to say we're welcome back from Mexico. It was a tremendous outpouring of God's Spirit. In two services, 516 people gave their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, he who wins souls is wise. Let me say that one more time. The Bible says, he who wins souls is wise. Can you turn to someone and say, you are so smart? That's the truth. How do I know that? Because you sow so that we can see more souls saved. Just last week alone, between this house and in Mexico, about 530 people are now able to go to heaven. The blood has washed their sins away. You know, churches don't see that in 20 years. And we're so blessed we're able to see that just in less than 5 days. God is able to do abundantly above. So it's exciting to know that God is using our lives right here in Horseheads, New York. Amen. We have some announcements for you. If we can run them, that'd be great.
Hey, we got Harvest Fest coming up. It's October 31st right here at the church. It's a Tuesday night from 6 to 8 p.m. We're going to be doing games indoors from 6 to 7. And then from 7 to 8, we're doing trunk or treat. So make sure you donate your candy. Also, bring your trunks, put some treats in them, and let's bless these kids. Again, Harvest Fest, October 31st from 6 to 8 p.m. We'll see you there.
Morning, His Tabernacle. Happy Sunday. You are brilliant for being in the house of God today. We want to welcome you to our house. Can you do me a favor? If this is your very first time ever at His Tabernacle Family Church, will you please raise your hand? We have a gift for you. We want to bless you. I see some greedy hands going up of people who just want a present. But if this is your very first time, we want to welcome you to His Tabernacle and bring you a gift. Oh, we have right over here, right in the front, brave people sitting in the front. God bless you and welcome. Thank you for joining us today. There's some more. See, it just took a minute to get some courage up. Please enjoy the gift, and we also invite you to enjoy some refreshments after the service at our guest reception, where you'll have an opportunity to meet the pastors and some of the staff here at His Tabernacle. That will be in the hallway on that side of the building right after service. So please join us for the guest reception. We would like to welcome our online family today. God bless you, and thank you for tuning in this morning. You are in for a treat today. So thank you for being with us. I have one announcement that I want to share with you this morning, but it's a very important announcement, and it only comes up once a year. And how many people know that October is Pastor Appreciation Month? If you don't know, I just told you. So we get a whole month to celebrate our amazing pastors. The Word of God said that there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for a friend. And I know that you can all agree with me that our pastors laid down their lives daily for this house for almost 20 years. And we want to make sure that we bless them and show our appreciation for their commitment to us. And that is going to be next Sunday. So next Sunday is our special day to honor them. So please pray about what God would have you give and bring tangible blessings in a card to bless our pastors next Sunday, October 29th.
Wow, what a great time in the house of the Lord. I love the opportunity every week that I get to come up and share with you on prosperity. When we enter into this time of tithes and offerings, we get to talk about prosperity, and that brings me so much joy. But even more that it brings me joy, we know from the Word of God in Proverbs 35:27 that it says that God takes pleasure in the prosperity of His people. So I actually believe that this portion of the service may very well be God's favorite portion of the service, because it says He takes pleasure in our prosperity. So He loves when His children prosper. I want to read a passage of scripture to you. It says Deuteronomy 8:18. It says, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth." And that's so exciting to know that He's the one that gives us the power to get wealth. But it gets even better than that. Listen to the last portion of this. "He gives thee power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He swore unto thy fathers as it is this day." So what He loves is not only giving you the power to get wealth, but establishing His covenant in our lives. And we get to participate in that when we remember the Lord with our tithes and offerings. Remember that it's Him that gives us the ability to gain wealth. And then we step into Him establishing His covenant that we declare every single week, Deuteronomy 28, that covenant of being blessed going in and blessed going out. He will establish that in our lives. So if you're ready this morning to establish the covenant of God in your life, stand with me as we make our supernatural declaration. The one thing I love about God's Word, I love everything about God's Word. Literally, I can't read. Every verse is my favorite, and you'll hear me say that often. Every verse is my favorite. But I love so much about the Word of God. It says that it will not return void, that it will accomplish what it is sent to do. So today, as you have your tithes and offerings, and as we make this declaration, I want you to speak it out prophetically, like you know that it's going to accomplish what we're sending it out to do today. Are you ready to do that with me? I don't know. You guys don't seem very awake this morning. Come on. We're establishing the covenant promises of God in our lives. So repeat it with me, like you know when the Word of God goes forth that it is going to accomplish what it is sent to do. So Deuteronomy 28, repeat after me. If I obey, then I am blessed going in. Come on, I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. And I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up. Because I'm a child of God. Now declare, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord this morning. If you're watching by a live stream, go ahead and give right along with us. Click on the giving button, or you can text to give.
Praise the Lord. Isn't God good?
Yes.
Amen. We have such an enormous blessing for us today. I want to remind you what the Word declares, that Jesus gave gifts to men. Now, if you've been in Rock Solid Faith on Tuesday nights, we've just covered this chapter. The Bible says that Jesus gave gifts to men. You know, if I gave you a matchbox car, how many of you would be happy with a matchbox car?
It'd
be nice. It'd be nice having a matchbox car. Nothing wrong with a matchbox car, right? But you're gonna grab, not anymore, you're going to grab a matchbox car. You're going to play with it. It's going to be a lot of fun. You're going to get it all nasty and dirty. I used to have this one, man, its wheels turned out and the whole thing. But if there's a difference how you honor a matchbox car or if I said I'm going to give you a Lamborghini for your birthday. How many of you wouldn't mind a Lamborghini for your birthday?
Yeah.
If I gave you a Lamborghini for your birthday, I'm sure you're not going to play with it the same way you would a matchbox car. And this is where we're talking about Jesus gave gifts to men. The apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the teacher, and the evangelist. And this morning we are overwhelmingly blessed right here in Horseheads, New York, to have a gift to the church. And that is Dr. John Avanzini is going to be preaching the word of God this morning. And he is not a small gift. He is a large gift in the kingdom of God. He's been preaching the gospel for 62 years. Literally has traveled the world, and God has used him in magnificent ways. In fact, in 2 weeks, he'll be in Asia preaching to churches of 25 to 30,000. But this morning, he's our gift in this house. Amen? So this is what I teach my staff all the time. When the gift gets there, make sure you get everything out of it that you can. Enjoy that gift. Get every benefit out of that gift. So this morning, I pray, you know, if you have a well, let's just say you have one of those wells where you got to drop a bucket in, you can stand at the mouth of the well, look down in the hole and go, yep, there's water and I'm thirsty. Guess how much you're going to have to drink? None. Because you can stare at the water, you can even throw a pebble in the water and watch the ripple effect. But until you drop the bucket, until you lower the bucket and pull it out, you are just going to always remain thirsty. And this morning we have a gift of God that's here. I'm talking the deposit. If you have a bank, let me ask you this question. If you have a bank and you, what's a bank for?
Money.
That's right, distribution of money. So if you have a bank but you put no money into it, how much money are you going to have to draw out? None. So today I'm asking you to receive the deposit from the Holy Spirit. I'm asking you to open up. Listen, I told Brother Avanzini this. I don't care if he stands up here and smiles at you, and that's all he does. Because this morning, I want the deposit from the gift that God has given us. There is an anointing that is released through the gifts to the church. And today, we are going to be able to participate with the gift that is not a small. Listen, if you're building a big building, you don't bring in a D2 bulldozer. You bring in one of those bulldozers that you have to look up to. You bring in those big dump trucks that the wheels are almost as big as your house. Why? Because whenever you're building something mammoth, you bring in the largest equipment. And I want you to recognize that what we have here this morning is not a small D2. This man of God right here with the anointing that he carries and the call of God that's on his life at 81 years old, still preaching the gospel all over the world, he is a massive truck that God has sent to us to move some dirt, amen, so that we can see God's blessing and God's purpose for this house come to fruition. So if you will with me, stand to your feet, and let's welcome Dr. John Avanzini to his Tabernacle Family Church.
Thank you, brother. Wow. Wow. Let me look at you. Hold your applause, please, and just remain standing with me and let me look at you. You know, God doesn't live in a palace. He lives in his people. And beautiful for situation is the city of our God. Would you help me to get started right by telling that person near to you? Now, I'm down from Fort Worth, Texas, and we talk a little slower. So if you would tell him, please, that Brother John thinks you look real, and give him nice. Not nice, but nice. Brother John thinks you look real nice. Nice, nice, yeah. That's it, yes. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. You know, as a boy, I was born in 1936, though maybe for the four-year period in there, through the 40, 41, 42, right in there, World War II was taking place. And previous to that, there was World War I. And then there was such a... people were tired of going to war. They just didn't want to go to war. And then the Korea came, and so they couldn't use the old word that had got worn out. They had to give it a new name. They said, we're going to the Korean conflict. So, well, okay, we can have conflict, but not a Western will have a war. But I mean, you know, we're tired of war. And then came time to go to Vietnam, and there was this police action in Vietnam. But there's something about words that after we hear them for a while, and they'll begin to lose their meanings, and then sometimes they can just upset us. This really upset us. And let me show you one of those in the Bible. When you get to the book of Hebrews, and you look at the second chapter, Hebrews, the second chapter, talking about our Lord here, it says, for in that he himself that had suffered being tempted, Hebrews 2:18, for in that he himself suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Now, that word was a great word when the King James was first written, succored. But how many of you know today that word has a bad connotation? Somebody say, he's going to make a sucker out of you. I mean, it means that you're going to get cheated, and he got suckered. So we have a bad word, and you won't find it in your newer translations. They've changed it. But what it used to mean, it's a nautical term. And it meant that when there was a smaller ship in trouble, and a larger ship would come along and drop out the lines and pull them up next to the, and bring them safely into harbor, that would say that they succored that ship. And it was a great, wonderful word. But we've got words that just come up and we use them for a while, and then they start having a different meaning than what God intended for them to mean. And then people just kind of stay away from them or hide from them. And we're going to deal with one of those words today. And as I begin, just before, I want to tell you how impressed. I've been with your pastors. I've been all over the world, spoken thousands of churches, been in all kinds of meetings. You have wonderful pastors. Wonderful pastors. And if their vision can be accomplished, you're going to see a big part of the population of this part of the world in heaven with you when you get there, if their vision can be accomplished. Because I've listened, I didn't hear any foolishness, any craziness, just solid things to reach this community for Jesus Christ and to see that your children have the gospel as they're brought up, and that there's proper counseling. And my, you have wonderful staff. I mean, beautiful staff of people. And then y'all pretty nice looking yourself, you know. You know, the Bible, we're just going to take a little bit of time with this, and we're going to travel from the book of Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation. And it'll be no more than 3 hours. I'm serious. I mean, I just cut it off at 3 hours, no matter if I'm through or not. But I'm going to talk to you about increase. And God wants his children to have increase. It's repeated throughout God's word. In Psalms 84, 11, the psalmist says, For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. You know, and walking uprightly is walking in such a way that you're doing the things that God asks you to do. And God said, I'll not withhold one thing from you. Sometimes with the traditions of the church and the poverty mentality that's been in the church, things get shrouded as to what God really wants for us. But you know, if you have a rich God who wants his children to be poor, that's a form of child abuse. You'd get arrested in my town for that. They'd come in and they'd guarantee your wages, and they'd see the kids had what they needed. But here we have teaching on poverty across the church. When God, why would a rich God want his children to be poor? And, you know, there's more than enough. I tell you, there's such an abundance on planet Earth. If all the money in New York, just New York City, fell on this building, they'd be 3 days digging you out from under it. I mean, there is a glut of money. Here a while back, someone said, you know, they're going to print new colored money. This is all new rainbow money. They're going to gather up all the old money and pass out new money. I said, they'll never do it. They'll have to cut down every tree in America to make up the tree, to get the paper to do it. There's so much money out there. There's more money out there than there's anything else. If you're not careful, you can get to where you get in your mind that there's a shortage. And if you get shortage in your mind, you will live in shortage. Are you grasping a little bit of what I'm saying to you? But God, through the Apostle Paul in Romans 8, 31, 32, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Now, that statement is a great statement. It states, he says, if God has already given you his son, is there anything that you could ask for that would be greater than that? He's already proven that he'll give you the best of everything when he gives you his son. And why would we withhold anything else? Maybe a family here, you've got three children and you're in a two-bedroom house. You got a boy and a girl. It's time to get a three-bedroom house or larger. And you get to the Lord and you say, Lord, we need a three-bedroom house. And can you imagine God saying, well, now I gave Jesus for you, but a three-bedroom house, that's out of the question. I couldn't do that for you. Are you grasping the ignorance of some of our thinking? The great God of heaven, he absolutely does not want poor kids. It does not. He gets no pleasure. Do you get any pleasure of seeing your children in insufficiency? It used to be one of the hardest things that I ever faced whenever I was first started life as a bricklayer, laying brick. And my wife and I, we were into Planned Parenthood. We had one every year for 4 years. And they said one time there's an evangelist coming to the church and he lays hands on infertile people and they have children. I said, that's not the evangelist I'm looking for. He said, I don't need that guy. But anyway, as you look at these things, God wants to bless you. God wants to bring increase into your life. Say that word with me, increase. You know, the first words God ever spoke to Adam was the word increase. When you get in Genesis 1, 27, 28, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female he created them. God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. What God says is, you see all this beautiful garden? His eyes open up there. The first thing Adam sees is this opulent garden. And then the first thing God says, son, we can make this thing 30 times bigger. We can make this thing 60 times bigger. We can increase this thing. We can really bring forth an abundance out of here. Are you grasping what I'm saying to you? God is pro. God is pro increase. And you are his child. And he wants increase in your life. Now, to bring the thought that I have for you today, I'm going to go through, and we're going to look at Adam and Eve, we're going to look at Abraham, we're going to look at Noah, we're going to look down and see Abraham and a few, and we're going to see something that runs along the line with God. God always wants his children, when he increases them, he likes to share in the increase. That's not unreasonable, is it? That if God would increase you, would you think it unreasonable if he wanted to share in that increase? Okay, I'm giving you a little illustration of this now. This will stay with you. I didn't use it the first time, but I saved it for here. Can you imagine? Now, here's where we're at. Can you imagine a kid wanting a hamburger, and his mother gets the hamburger, and he says, I want some fries. And then the mother says, honey, we don't have the money for the fries. And you're standing by, and you say, give the guy some fries. I'll pay for the fries. And you pay for the fries, and he gets his little box of fries, and he's standing there. And then you go up to him and say, can I have a fry? No. How many of you know? I mean, if the guy provides the increase, he should be able to share in the increase. But how many of you know it's your old nature? That no is your old nature. Even after you bless that person, they would not want to share back a portion of what God gave you. But if you get into the Adam and Eve's life, let's begin with them. In Genesis 2:15, and the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. He was just putting intensive labor on it. And then the reason that God puts him there with that, he's going to bring forth increase. And then if you go to the 16th and the 17th verse, and the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree in the garden you can freely eat. The increase is coming, enjoy it. Just eat it up. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that tree over there, you're going to bestow labor on it, but I don't want you eating that because that's my portion of the increase. Is anybody, are you getting this? It'd be kind of a childish to refuse God to share in the increase if he brings increase in your life. Am I correct? I don't know whether God can walk up and first time you get saved and say, I want half of everything you got. No, he wasn't in on it. The devil helped you get that. But he says, if I'll increase you, I want to share in that increase with you. Is that unreasonable? Does that sound unreasonable to anybody that you say, no, sir, God, no French fries. No French fry for you, sir. But we come to find that Adam and Eve, when they are in the garden, they share the increase with God. And then we come to find Cain and Abel. Now, you know, you find them. This earpiece is... Oh, brother. Whew. No, I'm going to keep it. I will not be moved. You know, here's a challenge. Find a book of the life of Adam and Eve. There's almost nothing ever said about them. People don't speak well of them. But you know, they were wonderful, powerful parents because they brought up those boys to share the increase with God. Anytime God increased them, those boys shared with the increase. Now, that is most of the mothers and fathers in the nation today do not have that much integrity with their Lord to train the children to share their increase with the Lord. But here we have Adam and Eve. They're two boys, Cain and Abel. And we see them in the fourth chapter, the third and fourth verse. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel brought the firstlings of the flock. Now that's increase. And the best thereof. And the Lord had respect to one and not to the other. That's a whole other piece of theology in there. But what I'm trying to show you is, here's a couple, Adam and Eve, they're in the garden. They meet God. God says, look, this thing is going to flourish. It's going to get bigger than ever. And you just increase it. But there's something part of it that I will be mine. Every time a harvest comes in, it's all yours. But the harvest off of that tree there, you leave that, that's mine. If you want me to increase you, I will want to share in the increase. And it seemed to be important because Adam and Eve, nothing else is said about them being good anything. They ate of the forbidden fruit and got us in a bunch of trouble. And that's not, but they don't go along and tell you that they were probably some of the best parents that ever lived, because their two children came forth, at least the two that we know about there. And they, when God increased the vegetable garden, Cain brought forth a portion to the Lord. Whenever Abel, whenever he had sheep and lambs and goats or whatever increase he had there, he immediately took the best thereof and brought it to the Lord. That is a powerful parenting that can bring children up to have that kind of honesty and respect, that when God increases them, honey, you have to give God a portion of the increase. Are you catching what I'm saying to you? This principle runs through the scriptures, and it moves, you go right from one end of the Bible to the other. You come to Noah. Now, when Noah is a farmer, I guess, in the beginning, and God comes to him to build this big ark, and so for decades, he's done nothing but build on the ark. He's probably the only thing he's got is a few tools now. Certainly not time to do any farming. He gets on board that ship, and God says, look, I want you to load it up. Here's what we're going to put on it. And as we load it up, I want you to bring two by two, ever clean beast, sevens in the clean beast, two in the unclean ones. Let's look at Genesis 7, 1 and 3, just stay in the focus of it. And the Lord God said to Noah, come thou and all thy house unto the ark, for there have I seen, I have seen you righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast, that 22nd verse, take to thee by sevens, male and his female. Of fowls also of the air by sevens, male and female, to keep seed alive upon the face of the earth. So now we see this ark is loaded, and away it goes. And whenever they come now on the dry land, all of a sudden something very different has happened with Moses, with Noah. Because from having just a little box full of tools, boat building tools, he now owns the whole world population of all the clean eating animals. Anything that can be eaten by man, he owns all of that livestock. He has been so increased. Don't you know he'd become a rich man if you owned everything that could be eaten, if it belonged to you and then you had to distribute it from that point? That would be a gargantuan wealth. And as soon as it happens, what happens? Noah shares the increase with God. Because when you come to the eighth chapter and the 20th and the 22nd verse, and Noah built an altar unto the Lord, and he took every clean beast and every clean fowl and offered burnt offering unto the altar. And the Lord smelt a sweet smell, a savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold, winter, heat shall not cease. Here we see now Noah, he's built the boat, he lands. There are seven of all the clean. He has the livestock. He has it cornered, anything edible. And now he is probably he's got to be the richest man in the world. And as he looks at that, he realizes, you know, I didn't have that when I got on the ark. That's been increased by, that now belongs to me. I've had an increase. And immediately he says, Lord, I thank you for blessing me, and I want to share this increase with you. And he takes one seventh of the world's breed stock, and he offers it to the Lord. Now, you know, it's different when you offer the breed stock than if you offer the firstlings. You follow what I'm saying? Because that breed stock will bring forth again and again. But 1/7 he put into the hands of God, brought it out, started a big fire. And remember, here's a little something on the side. He said, God smelled a sweet savor. God smelt a sweet savor. You know, God's probably the only one that likes the smell of burnt flesh. And any time you want to drop off some flesh and quit dealing in the flesh, God smells a sweet savor. That's another message. We're not going to preach that today. Now, what you've got to this point that we're at now, 2,500 years have passed that man has been sharing the increase with God. 2,500 years. And now a word is introduced. And that word, when it was introduced, was not introduced by a committee. It wasn't a finance committee trying to come up with a way to meet the budget on a building or to do this or fund a project. But we come to find that God sends his son, Jesus Christ, to the earth. And he comes here in the form of Melchizedek. Are you aware of the fact that Melchizedek is a personification of Jesus Christ, the pre-incarnate Christ, and he's got a word that he's going to bring into the church. Now, you've got to watch, because that word that he brings into the church has suffered great, great damage. It's been talked about bad. It brings forth strange feelings when people hear it, but I think that's why Jesus brought it himself, because after all this time of sharing the increase, he now gives it a name. And he tells us what the percentage is of what you are increased that you're supposed to give back to the Lord. Now look, 2,500 years. Anywhere he could have taken a priest, he could have taken a prophet, someone, and just said, hey, here's the word, I want you to drop it in. But this word is so important, and this principle is so important, that it's not just left to an angel. It's not left to a prophet. It's not left, but Jesus Christ himself comes and he brings this word forward. In Hebrews 7:1-3, you see here who this Melchizedek is, because he's going to visit Abraham in a minute. It says, for this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being, by interpretation, king of righteousness, and after also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, now watch, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but like unto the Son of Man, abideth a priest continually. You're picking that up? Something is taking place here now. Something is taking place here now. We're bringing a word into the church, are into Christianity, are into the things of God, that is going to signify what has been going on, what Adam was doing when he was working on that tree but not able to eat of it, what was going on when Cain and Abel were taking the firstlings of the flock and moving it, and the firstlings of their harvest and bringing it into the Lord, and the sharing all the way down, when Noah all of a sudden saw, look, wait a minute, where did this come from? Oh, I've got all this cattle now, it's mine. God, I've had increase, so he has to bring it to him. And what he does, Melchizedek introduces into the church and into the things of God the word tithe. Tithe. Now, let me help you with this. The word tithe is like the word war. It's been worn out. People get all kind of feelings about it. They get the wrong idea about it. It's like God's trying to take something from them. But the tithe has absolutely nothing to do with anything you have. Nothing you have right now. God has no tithe of any kind pressing upon you for. But what he says to the people that are going to be obedient, he says, if you will just share the increase with me that comes to you from this point on, from this day on, and if you'll do that, I'll open heaven. I'll bring forth a dimension into your midst that's greater than you can even imagine. Now, let me show you. You already, can I just talk plain to you? Absolutely. See, we already don't, we don't even realize what's doing, like this moment right here. Did you know that up on, in the Himalayas, there's people up there chanting and staring at their belly button, just trying to get a contact, to open door, to talk to God. And the Bible says If three or more of you are gathered together, there am I in their midst. Any place that you draw together like we are today, this is not just a meeting somewhere on the side of the road in a metal building. This is a portal that's been opened right here, that's opened into heaven, and Jesus Christ himself is walking in our midst. You don't realize it. I know you don't. I haven't seen it on your face. But you know, just like the fourth man in the fire is what you've got going on here. All of a sudden, there was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and here was a fourth man in the fire. Right now, you come in this room with Christ in you, and he's in you now. But in our gathering in his name, a portal opens, and we are now in this special meeting. This is different than anything in town right now. This is the place that God is walking around. Jesus is walking around with his people right now. Are you seeing that? And you say, Brother John, I don't know. Listen, that is one of the great mysteries. That how in the world could you come to a point that Jesus himself says, I'm not just going to be in you, but I'm going to be with you. And people say, oh, remember the days of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when the fourth man was in the fire. Well, what about it? I have it every time I go to my church. Every time we come together and call on the name of Jesus and say we're having church, there he is in our midst. Are you getting that? See, this thing is so supernatural. If you walk out that door right there, you won't feel what you feel inside this door. If you step to the church next door, you won't feel what you're feeling here. Are you picking up what I'm saying to you? You are a special people, a supernatural people. And every time you come together, God moves you into a zone of possibility. A zone of possibility is created. But most of us don't even realize we're there. We just think we're having a good time. Child of God, hear me. If you can start being the people that will share the increase with God, there will be no end of what God wants you to do. I swear to you right now, and I see it in your church. My goodness, you have a great church. It's properly staffed. You have dedicated people, not a bunch of foolishness. I mean, sometimes when I go to speak for a church, several times I've just acted like I was sick and went home. I'm the stupidity. I mean, it's just a big country club. But I thank God that I've felt it from the moment I came in here when I was picked up at the airport. I don't know how everybody else felt when they walked off that airplane, but I felt very important because the person you sent to get me, he made it look like I was important. Are you getting what I'm saying? And now here you are, and you're in this moment with God as he has opened up and has come into session with you, walking up and down through these aisles. And what he's saying is, I want to do my work in this city. I want to go hungry all fed. I want the naked all clothed. I want the gospel preached in every dimension in this city. I want to give you everything that I promise you, exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think. But what I need is I need you to get to understand that word that disturbs you was a word that was special to me because I sent my own son to deliver it. Now be careful with that. You follow? Be careful with that. Well, I never looked at it that way. Well, listen, I never looked at it that Jesus died for my sins, really, that the blood saved me. But when I realized it, I had to change. I didn't have the Bible fit my life. I had to make my life fit the Bible. And the blessing started coming. Are you grasping? I'm going to talk to you about this thing of the tithe. Because here we have this Abraham now, and he's meeting in Genesis 14, 18 through 20, and Melchizedek steps in with Abraham. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest, brought forth bread and wine. And he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thine hand. And Abraham gave him tithes of all. The NIV, the NLT, the New Living Testament says, and Nebuchadnezzar collected the tithe from him. Now, are you picking up what I'm trying to say to you? 2,500 years, no one ever said anything bad about the tithe. Nothing. All the history books are clear. No one's ever said anything about it because it had not been mentioned yet. But when it was time to mention it, he sent his own son in the form of Melchizedek and with Abraham. Now, why Abraham? Because he was getting ready to put together a very unique people. Now, he was cutting out and bringing forth what's called the seed of Abraham. And if you are Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the blessing singular? Not blessings. You follow? These are blessings, blessings, blessings. But the blessing is the enablement to prosper. The divine enablement to prosper. Can you imagine? Are you following what I'm saying to you? Oh, is God blessing you? Yes, he's, oh yeah, yeah. How do you know? Well, I got things. No, no, no. I'm blessed because I have the blessing. And I can speak a thing and it'll come to pass. I can speak it'll be and it'll be, and I can stop it with the words of my mouth. Because why? Because I now have a divine enabling. I have the blessing. And what I touch is blessed. And my children are blessed. Can you grasp what I'm trying to say to you? People think this is, oh, they're talking about money again. My Lord, let me tell you, there's so many things that the open heaven has that has nothing to do with money. Just think for a minute. And I don't care, you can have $100 million and something happened, big car accident down on the highway, and one of your kids is in it, and it just looks like there's no hope whatsoever that they're just going to die. All your money, you can bring it in there and just start throwing it around the room, nothing happened. But what it means when you're a tither, you live under an open heaven, and you speak a thing, it'll come to pass. Are you getting what I'm saying? When you've got a son that's getting off into a mess, you can take and bring forth a word that even I've had this happen. The very people that were trying to get my boy into trouble, finally, they said, you know, you really shouldn't be doing this. And my boy came home. Are you grasping me? Under an open heaven, the anointing leads the way. But without the open heaven, see what your money can do. And it can do a lot. Money can do a lot. I got money. I know what it can do. But I know what it can't do. My wife, 62 years married. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I call her my bride. I said, as long as you act like a bride, I'll call you my bride. Talk about an open heaven. I'm telling you, God has this beautiful thing called tithing that takes and links him as your partner in everything you do. And he wants to increase you in every way, but he wants to share in that increase. He wants his French fry. When you get your package of French fries, I'm telling you, honey, it crushes him for you to say, no. Get your own French fries. By the way, son, those are my French fries. There, get you. Are you grasping this? Is anybody catching what I'm saying? This word has gotten connotations to it that are not right. The word tithe is not a word that came forth out of a building fund committee or out of some kind of a financial group of Jews sitting around somewhere trying to figure out how to fund the temple. The Lord God sent his only begotten Son to the earth, and he spoke this into existence. And it's not in our midst now because of what any man said. It's what God said as he sent that word to us. Are you grasping it? Can anybody get what I'm saying? Now, let's deal with a couple of the mechanical things, though, because there's an onslaught against the tithe. Many people will say, Brother John, the tithe is the law. Oh, no, 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 no. Watch this. 430 years before the law was the day that Abraham was given the instructions by Melchizedek about the tithe. And you see that it's written in Galatians 3:17. And this I say, that the covenant which confirmed before God in Christ the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of no effect. 430 years before the law, Abraham was visited by Melchizedek, and the plan of tithing was now out of the nebulous stage, and it had a quantification, it'll be 10%, and it had a name, a qualification, it'll be called the tithe. 430 years later comes the law. Okay, now people will say, oh, tithing's part of the law. Tithing was incorporated into the law. It did not come by the law. And by the way, when you look at this thing and you start thinking, Brother John, I'm not under the curse of the law. I've had him say that to me. Don't put that tithing on me. I'm not under the curse of the law. You know what the answer is? Tell it to Ananias and Sapphira. Tell them, you goofy too. Why'd you fall down dead for? You didn't fall down dead. I mean, Jesus has been to the cross. I mean, this law thing's over. Simon the sorcerer. Go tell Simon the sorcerer. He walked around blind for 30 days thinking, are you getting what I'm saying to you? I mean, you need to be real careful because there is a great trick being pulled on the church. And let me say this. Traveling ministry, television ministry. And by the way, I can do this because I probably raised more money for Christian television than anybody ever has in the history of the world. I know of at least $3 billion that we raised for TBN, and I spoke for all of those networks for many years. But the problem with traveling ministry is that many times they try to shake people loose from the tithe because they have no business with the tithe. The tithe belongs in the house of God. Watch with me. Bring your tithe into the storehouse. And what it is, see, then all of a sudden they're thinking, well, if we can get people not to tithe, they'll send more money into our ministry. Listen, there's more than enough to go around if the children of God in the church. When I come to a church that's in the 75, 80, 95% tithing range, I'm telling you that you hear stories of the dead being raised. You see children who there's over there that were had club feet and now the foot's turned around. I mean, they're just a hall of miracles. You find all kind of businesses started and prosperity because that opened heaven. Are you grasping what I'm saying to you? This is not a fundraising message. It never was a fundraising message. It was just simply, Lord, if you gave it, you have a right to a portion of it. And if you're getting it some other way, God has nothing to do with it. Go ahead. Just do it. But I choose to believe that if a dollar comes in my hand, God Jehovah, my daddy, put it in my hands. And I thank you, Lord, and I'll share a portion of it with you. Woo, I hope you're getting it. See, Leviticus 27, 30 and 35 and 32 tells us 430 years after Abraham got this word from Jesus that we have this thing called the tithe that is 10%, then they incorporated it into the law because Leviticus 27, 30 and 32 says, and all the tithe of the land, whether the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord, it's holy unto the Lord. The 32nd verse says, now concerning the tithe of the herds and of the flocks, even of whatever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. So we find now it's incorporated into the law. But now we find again that Jesus, in his time on the earth, spoke again to this matter and said the tithe is legitimate. I mean, this is not Southern Baptist headquarters. This is Jesus, and he's saying in Luke 11:42, he's rebuking the Pharisees, woe unto you Pharisees, for you tithe the mint and rue and all manner of herbs, but pass over the judgment of and the love of God. These things ought you to have done. And that ought you to have done was not suggestive, it was imperative. These things ought you to have done and not leave the other undone. Jesus says, yes, if you have an increase, you need to give a portion. But now watch again. Here comes the next attack. And they say, look, that we're now under the time of grace. That was law. The tithe came in. But watch this, please. This is so interesting. When you get in Hebrews 7 and verse 8, you find Hebrews was written in 70 A.D. Jesus was crucified about 32 A.D., so 34 or 5 years after the cross, in that church that the Hebrews are being written to, it says that people 35 years after the cross we're still raising tithes. Watch what it says. And here, Hebrews 7, 8. And here, men that die receive tithes, right here in 70 AD. And there, back then in Melchizedek's day, he received them of whom it is written that he liveth forever. Are you grasping what I'm saying to you? And now watch this. In Malachi 3:10, he says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith. I've had people say, this is the only thing God ever asked you to prove him with. That's not so. God asks you all the time to prove him. I mean, when I was standing there lost, he said, you just believe, you just accept my death for your death. Try it and see if it doesn't save you. And then, what about this baptism of the Holy Ghost? Well, my college I went to, they teach against it. I was a Baptist boy. Here's these Pentecostal folks are all talking in tongues. My crowd's saying they're speaking to the devil. They're the devil that's in them, you know, demons. And I just said, Lord, what is there to this? And he says, well, John, try it and see. And I tried it, and I spoke in other tongues, and I've never been back. I talk in tongues all the time. Now, are you grasping what I'm saying to you? God's always asking us to try something. Try it. And I'm going to come to you with a proposition to try this wonderful thing that Jesus Christ described to us as the tithe. And I'll tell you how we do it in a minute. But let me show how thorough this thing is. This thing of the teaching on sharing the increase goes all the way from the Garden of Eden all the way into the new Jerusalem, the new heaven, and the new earth. They're still sharing the increase with God. Did you get what I just said? From all the way to the creation of man, through the tribulation, through all of those things, through the destruction of the earth, a new heaven and a new earth. And you find in Revelation 21, now, I don't have all the details of what wealth there is in the earth and how wealth is being distributed. I do know we're not sitting on clouds asking apostles about thorn in their side and stuff like that. We're going to be busy when we get into heaven. Revelation 21, 23 through 26, and the city had no need for the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light of it. And the nations of them that are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor. Their splendid wealth is what those two words mean. Go to your concordance and look at it. Their splendid wealth, the best of their wealth, into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, or neither that whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but those that are written in the Lamb's book of life. Or, church, from the creation, as God takes and makes the man. Did you ever, how much time we got? Yeah. There's a little note there that's very interesting to me. It's a side note. When God made Adam, the bleachers of heaven were full. Angels, all the angels were watching. And he gets up. And he, kind of a lame applause. Yeah. He said, what's the matter? Then one of the angels came and said, they feel you can do better than that. So then he made the woman, and they all applauded. Hallelujah. Now, see, I had to rest you a little bit because you're puckering up at both ends. Here's what God showed me. You folks have just spent this year, you're finishing up the year of generosity. Let me say this. Your generosity cannot surpass your substance. But the generosity is here. It was a great year. But now there needs to be acceleration of your substance. You need great acceleration of your substance. Some of you that have been thinking about going in a business, this could be the coming year here. I'm believing you could be in that business. Some of you that have got to get that certification to go ahead and come into a little, into a better financial position, I see a year ahead of you of the open heaven. If you will do what they did this morning, 9 out of every 10 or more, probably 19 out of every 20 came forward and committed in this house just ahead of you to share all future increase with God Jehovah. Can you understand what that's doing? That means that after you've got this training in generosity, and now you know it's hard to be generous out of an empty pocket, but it's now time for heaven to open. It's now time for y'all to step into a new dimension. It's now time for you to be grown up about this thing and say, God, your book says that we share the increase with you. We'll do it. And we're not going to do it the way we want to do it. We'll do the way that Jesus said to do it when he came and talked to Abraham. Are you understand what I'm saying to you? I said, Brother John, you're trying to get something from us. I'm not trying to get a thing from y'all. There's no offering after this going to be taken from me. Not going to do that. I'm here with a word from God for you. And I wouldn't be here if your bishop hadn't told me I should come. Serious. I'm serious. Church, I was a bricklayer. I had nothing. Today I have exceeding abundantly above all I can ask or think. I have money enough to live to be 120. My grandchildren, I have an inheritance for my children and for my grandchildren. I said, Brother John, why are you telling us that? Because the Bible says that we're supposed to have an inheritance for our children and our children's children. Somebody's got to talk about it so that we don't show up. You know, most Christians show up at funeral time and the kids have got to gather up the money to bury them. That's not God's plan. But for 1 year, I'm going to ask you this. For 1 year, will you prove God? For 1 year, prove God. And if God can't bless you under an open heaven in 1 year, just forget about it. I've lied to you. I've not told you the truth. But I've never seen anybody, if they give it 1 year, that will ever go back to not tithing. Never met a person. I'm going to pass an envelope out to everybody. And as soon as you get it, I want you to do something with it. The moment you get it in your hand, I want you to seal it shut. Okay? Seal it shut. That takes care of everybody that thinks I'm going to try to trick you into putting some money in it. Seal it shut. All envelopes sealed shut. Everybody has an envelope. Now I'm going to ask you just put your name, your address. That's just information to who you are. And on the back of it, I'd like for you to write, Pastor, from this day on, I tithe. Pastor, from this day on, I tithe. We won't hide from the word. It's the word Jesus gave us. From this day on, I will tithe. Now, you say, brother, you mean for this week? No. Any increase from this moment on. Not talking about increase from yesterday, last month. But from this moment on. If there's no increase, you don't tithe. But if there's increase, you tithe. Are you grasping? Now, that's simply what the book says. So if you have your envelope, everybody with an envelope, please wave at me. You have your envelope. Get your name or something written on it where we can tell who you are. And then you're going to just write on the back of it, from this day on, Pastor, from this day on I will tithe. And then just sign your name on the back of it. Well, Brother John, I'm pretty careful about signing my name. Oh, yeah. Credit cards. You're signing it all the time. You never signed your name as much as you do now. You're signing it everywhere. But then I'm going to ask that we're going to put this in Pastor's hand, and for 1 year, every morning, he's going to pray specifically for you, your business, your growth, your income, and this will be, you mark my word, this will be a marked new day in this house. Amen. Now, this morning already, almost everyone, boom, and way beyond the percentage of what usually would be in the first service. Not asking you to put any money in it. This is if God prospers you, you will share the increase. If he doesn't, you're okay. It means God has no interest in that. He doesn't say, I want dues whether you have increase or not. He says, you have increase, I want to share in it. Pastor, something's happening here. Something's happening in this room. And I'm telling you, the devil is mad. I mean, they're right out now putting in long distance calls to him. You better get in here. Something nutty's happening in here. You will change this city. You'll change your children. Many of you will have children that'll serve God that if you didn't make this move we're making right now, they would never serve God. Some of you will have reason to lay hands on a sick person in the near, just the near future. And you'll have that stronger assurance knowing that you're under an open heaven. So, peaceful with everything, sir? So, if you have it, would you, everybody ready? Wave at me if you have finished your card. Look out, devil. Somebody say, look out, devil. Amen. I want you now to just jump to your feet and come throw your card up here on the your envelope up here. And just quickly, will you let me come back sometime? Come, Pastor. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, something's happening. Come right ahead and hang out just another minute or two. We're going to pray over this. Still plenty of time. You'll beat the Presbyterians to Denny's. Just break loose and put them anywhere. Just throw them, just drop them anywhere along here. There you go. Wow. The devil's in the phone booth dialing 911. Look out, devil. Yes, still coming, still coming. Yes, still coming. We share the increase. Just a day like today that a church can go from partially open heaven to a full open heaven. Just like that. See, and it's not, Brother John, how much do we put in the envelope? No, that's not it. The commitment now is made from this moment on. Increase, God shares. No increase, increase. But I'll guarantee you, you're going to see increase. It's going to come from every direction. It's going to come into your life. Be careful now, because the hardest part of this is to go ahead and give God his portion when he gives you the increase. Let me pray quickly over this, and I'm going to turn it over to Pastor. Father, I thank you there's more than enough. I thank you that the devil is defeated in the finances of this church. And it can come to full stature, God, that the things that you have planned for this city, so many are going to be saved in this city. So many wonderful things are going to be done. And God, I thank you. Oh, my Father, I don't know. I'm going to say it. Father, I thank you, laying it in my heart right now, that out of this in the future will come an explosion of debt cancellation. Explosion of debt cancellation. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, God. I've seen it happen, Lord. I've seen you do it. And I thank you, God, that can make that promise that an explosion in debt cancellation is coming into this house. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor.
Hallelujah. Isn't God good? I'm so excited for you. Many of you are going to step into that open heaven, that outpouring of God's Spirit. Word says it very clearly. Will I not open the windows of heaven and pour forth a blessing you cannot even contain? And I'm declaring not only for you personally, but also for this house, that we'll never, ever, ever have to even receive a special offering for an outreach. But that we'll always be able to love people, bless people, build, share the gospel more than we ever have before. Can I hear an amen? We were recently offered a national television program on the new network. It's called Faith TV. And what we've decided is this. We are not going to take that. Why? Because if we're going to invest, we're going to invest in our own region. We're going to put it right here. We want people to be saved here. Amen? I tell you, it's a tremendous blessing and honor to be offered a national TV spot. 50 million households is what they were promising. For a very little amount, $600 a week. But I believe in my spirit that we have to do it here. This is where we've been sent. Amen? This is where the investment has to be. This is where God's going to change lives. We're going to take this region back. Brother John was saying in the first service, in over a decade, it's the very first time he has ever heard how a church has been able to go into the high school. Many of you don't know, but Pastor Cody, every week is teaching a class in Elmira High School on character. The school has invited him in, and he's actually teaching in the high school. They expected him only to have 10 students. How many students you have? You have 30 students right now that are learning integrity in the high school from your youth pastor. Amen. That means you're there. You're sending him that seed. Take him back to generation. There were 107 teenagers here on Thursday night. How many were here on Wednesday night? Do we know? How many were here on Wednesday night? I believe the week before, 107 or 108 young children were here the week before. These are kids that the only gospel they're hearing is because of you. And we just want to say, I want more of an open heaven. I want to take over the high school. Can I hear an amen? I want to get into Horseheads High School, get into Corning High School, get into Watkins Glen High School, get into the Troy, Pennsylvania High School, get into Notre Dame. Can I hear an amen? I want the gospel to penetrate. I want to take back what the devil's stolen from this region. No more old connotation of the flood of 1972. We're going to have a flood of 2017 of the Holy Ghost, where God's going to change lives, heal bodies, save families for the glory of heaven. Amen? So, Father, we speak right now in blessing, Father, for all those who've committed to get into the principle that you established of tithing. We declare, God, that their households will increase, that, Father, money will come from all different directions, that, Jesus, you will show them that your word is true. It's as true as their salvation as is in their giving. God, we give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'm going to have Mindy stand right on over here. Maybe you've never received him as your Savior. Maybe you're in a backslidden condition. You're not sure if you're going to go to heaven. The very best you can give is yourself. That's what God's after. Amen? So if you don't know Jesus as your Savior or want to get right, when we leave, Mindy will be right there. We'd love to be able to have you come up. We want to give you a Bible, get you into rock-solid faith, get you growing and maturing, step one, and that you will not only start this race, but you'll finish it all the way as a winner. Can I hear an amen? Let's all stand to our feet. My wife's going to release us in a blessing.
Just want to say that Pastor is going to be taking all of these envelopes home to his man cave where he prays every single morning. And your envelope will be prayed over. Your life will be prayed over every single morning. So we're excited about that. Father, we just thank you for your blessing. Thank you for the privilege of being called sons and daughters. Thank you for the privilege of being able to participate with kingdom living. Father, we thank you that your blessing is on this house and every single individual. And we know that today is a marked day. We know that today is a transition, not only for the house, but every single individual. And we thank you for your power that is stronger than anything that we will face in our lives. And we thank you for it in your precious name. Bless everyone as they go today. Amen.
Have an awesome week. Serve Jesus with all of your heart. Share the gospel with at least one soul. Bring him to the house of the Lord next week.
God is fighting for us. God is on our